Let's get to our guest. Helen Chow is with us, APAC Economics Head and Chief Greater China Economist at B of A Global Research. She joins from Hong Kong. Helen, thanks for being with us. We're standing by for the list of economic reports out of China. Taken together, it's, I guess, the estimate that we're going to see some kind of modest improvement in the month of July. Is that your expectation?
Yes. I'm afraid that we're going to see some improvement, although not very big ones. So in probably IP, fixed asset investment, as well as in retail sales. So that's going to be good news. We think that the most important driver for such improvement is the very fact that reopening has continued, and also we're being helped by a lower base from a year ago.
So reopenings continue, but how long can we be sure that that will remain the case? All it takes is another outbreak. How sustainable are these gains in a COVID zero environment?
Well, we're not so sure yet. We're still in the hands of the COVID virus outbreaks, because at the moment, what is fortunately still happening is that those flare-ups are actually taking places in the more remote areas that are heavy in tourism, but not necessarily important from a significant manufacturing perspective. So for example, if you look at Hainan or, Xinjiang or a few places in other areas that were recently being, implemented the temporary control measures, I'm afraid that they are more important from a tourism perspective. So potentially that will hit the summer vacation, transportation and accommodations, but not necessarily like Beijing or Shanghai, where we had the lockdown back in April and May. Those are much more important from economic growth development perspective. And therefore, at the moment, I think that the impact should be smaller than before. But the problem is going forward into September to October, are we going to see a more widespread lockdown? We're not so sure yet. I think it still largely depends on how quickly that such cities would be responding to potential flare-ups.
Helen, the latest China credit growth, shockingly weak numbers, I think. The aggregate financing was about half of what economists were expecting. So has confidence really collapsed to the point where even if money is out there, no one wants it?
Well, I would say that the numbers, the money and credit numbers that came out on Friday were indeed a disappointment, but that was not completely a shocker. The problem is that I think many people had the expectation raised after they saw the June and also the May numbers, thinking that the numbers would be very good right away, because China managed to do it in the past cycles. In previous cycles, whenever China pushed the credit wealth, and then things would actually come back pretty quickly. And therefore, I think people were largely expecting the same would happen this time. But this time is different. Mm. We have been arguing that especially the June rebound was caused by regulatory requirement, more about a moral suasion. Mm-hmm. But coming into July, when that expires, it is gone, because credit demand is still very weak.
And Helen, we've been discussing our expectations around the data that we're going to get out of China today, but the political dimension to all of this is waiting on Xi Jinping getting sworn in for a third term later this year. Once that happens, do you anticipate any new reforms, stimulus, new policies around China's economy?
Great question. In fact, we think this is probably the most important political event in 5 years, and therefore we are expecting a big change, but not necessarily on economic policy stimulus. Many people are saying maybe there is going to be the interest rate cut or, a credit expansion acceleration or issuance of special purpose bonds. But in our view, the most important change would be the relaxation of COVID measures within China and the border control. We think that the key reason for keeping all of these is to safeguard this particular event. And once this event is out of the way, we think that the relaxation, the reopening will come back.
So last Friday, we had five state-owned firms saying that they intend to delist here from the New York Stock Exchange. There's a lot that we've been talking about with respect to U.S.-China tensions. Is it going to get much worse? And are we looking at a decoupling scenario that the market really hasn't effectively discounted?
Well, we think that the decoupling is probably still taking place slowly. If you look at the delisting actions and also the software, new software bans on the on chip development, etc. But we don't necessarily think that we are going through an L-shaped kind of plummeting action from here. Most likely, we'll see some deterioration and then some followed by some improvement, and then maybe two steps forward, one step back. The good news is that actually the media in the U.S. is reporting Xi and also President Biden are going to meet in Indonesia during the G20. So by the time of November, we think that this will create the conditions for a face-to-face meeting and possibly some improvement between the two countries.
And in terms of that improvement, do you see an improvement to the trading relationship, not just with the US, but with some of the other trading partners that China has that it's been butting heads with recently?
Yes, we think that's also likely. I think a lot of the potential improvement are now also hinged on China's decision to reintegrate with the rest of the world. So they need to get their business done first and conclude the CPC. Once the succession and all these important changes are confirmed, we think that China would move on and gradually come back. And by that time, for example, during the November APAC and also G20 meetings, we probably will see China's commitment also to regional partners and including, for example, the reopening of its border and allowing Chinese tourists to come back again.
We're getting indications that the Biden administration will soon unveil details for trade talks with Taiwan. Does this have the potential to further inflame tension with Beijing?
Potentially, but I think the problem, however, is with Taiwan is more about the political instigation rather than the trade relationship. What it may potentially become a negative catalyst for U.S.-China relationship would be, for example, U.S. imposing bans on technology-related products export from Taiwan to mainland China. If that is the case, yes, that could potentially make this already pretty stressed relationship even worse. But if it is more about reducing tariffs or improving the trade relationship between U.S. and Taiwan, I think that's probably not going to change much.
Helen, very quickly, 10 seconds, loan prime rate later in the week. Anticipating any change?
No, we don't necessarily think so.
All right. Thank you very much. Helen Shah, APAC Economics Head and Chief Greater China Economist at Bank of America Global Research there, speaking to us on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.